So this morning, we are looking at lesson two, the lost state of man. Yesterday, we looked at the proper view of God, who God is to me, and this morning, we're looking at the lost state of man. Who am I? And I understand this lesson is on the negative side, as we view mankind, but it's reality. It's reality for each one of us. Just a little note yet. Yesterday with our study period, God bless you for your efforts and your diligence in digging, and I was really blessed by what you came up with, and it was very well done. God bless you in that. I know there could have been many answers, but you said very well. Okay, continuing on here, as we think about the lost state of man, I have four scriptures I'd like to have read this morning. We'll start two with the men and two from the ladies. So, starting with the men, Psalm 51, verse 5. Raise your hand, Logan, and Elmer. Okay, thank you. Isaiah 53, verse 6, verse A, one of the ladies. Thank you. And Romans 5, 12. Thank you. If you can find that verse and stand and read it. Psalm 51, verse 5. Thank you. Shaping an iniquity from our birth. Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Thank you. Who has sinned? Anyone else?
All.
Thank you. All people. Isaiah 53, verse 6a. Thank you. Again, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Romans 5:12.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Thank you. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Not sure how that sits in your heart this morning as you think of those verses. But it's kind of a dismal picture, isn't it? You know, what, in the light of that, what hope do we have? Was mankind always like this? And how did we get here? How did we get to this place? I like to follow the trail a little bit this morning, and you all know that, but I'm just going to refresh it in your minds. We're going to follow the trail of mankind a little and see how we got to this place. Man as God created him. Man as God created him. When did God create man? Anyone? When did God create man? So in Keith? Okay. Good. Yeah, so in creation, what part of the creation? Beginning, middle, end? You said it, Keith, basically. At the end. Man was created last, okay? And the question comes to me, Why was man created last? What comes to your mind? Like, why was man, what do you think? Of course, God is all-knowing, but why did God wait to create man at the last? Any ideas?
Was it because man is going to be the center or the crowning of his creation?
Very good. Yes, very good point. Matthew asked, was it because God wanted to make it the crowning part of his creation? Yes, very much so. Is there anything else? So man is a very special part of creation. What would it have been like if man was created halfway through creation? Or first? How would have that changed the picture? And we don't know all those things, but we do know that this does prove that we do have an all-knowing God. Another point, God didn't need man's help in creation. So as you think of creation, how God created all the different things, and then he created man at the last, he didn't need man's advice. He didn't need man's help. It was God. God was the creator. God created, and then he brought man at the end as a crowning glory. And we'll read that verse here in a bit. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. We read these verses yesterday. I'd like to read them again. We won't take time to go through the whole creation story. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. Get a volunteer to read that. Anyone? Thank you, Jared. Thank you for that. I know we touched on this yesterday. But like to again, it's a very important point. How did God create man? Sorry, it's a review question. Say it again.
In his own image.
Yes, thank you. You're right. God created man in his own image after his likeness. I'd like to think for you to think about that. You know, you and I are made after God's likeness. And we're not exactly sure what that all means. does this mean that we're in the similar form of God? Does God have a body like you and me? Does he look like you and I? You know, possibly there's indicators in the Bible about his hands and his, body parts somewhat. But yet, that's not the important fact this morning. It's our intellect, our intellectual part, our minds, our souls are patterned after God's likeness. And there's probably more to that. That's a deep subject, so I welcome your input in that as well. But isn't that a special thought to know that God, in his wisdom and all-knowingness, he created us like that, in his own image. And these are things that we've heard in our growing up years. We all have. But yet, for each one of you that are sitting here this morning, that's special to you personally. And I want to, I told you yesterday morning, I'd like to encourage you and strengthen your foundations. I'm not saying you don't have a foundation, but we all need strengthening and encouragement, all of us, including myself. And that's part of it. I'd like you to grab a hold of that as God's interest in your own special life. He really does care, and he has a special place for you. I appreciate what Steve shared this morning. Say amen to that. We need you as young people. And not just you. We need you to be available for the work of the kingdom. Because God needs young people in the work of the kingdom in a very real way. I love young people. I love our youth group at home, and I'm really enjoying you as well. We need each other. Anyhow, that was a side note. But take heart that God has a special interest in you. Going on to our notes here. We're not like animals. What's different? Any thoughts?
Animals don't have souls.
Okay, thank you. Very good. Anything else?
We have the power of choice.
Okay, very good. Can one of the ladies read Genesis 2:7 for me? Thank you.
Is Amen.
Amen. God breathed into man. God breathed into him the breath of life. I'm not sure how that makes you feel in your heart. How do you feel about that? Or how does it sync with your heart? But when I think about God breathing into mankind, and I'm a man, I'm a person, that's special. That God put the breath of life into man. That's how man came to be. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Beautiful. Don't lose that part. Stick that in your heart. Steve talked about storing things in the back in your heart. That's one of these things. Stick it in there. Keep it there. Any other differences between us and animals? We are different than animals. Any other comments to that? Okay, thank you. Very good. We can have a relationship with God. Yes, very, very important. Anything else? Well, man is different than all creation because we have a body, soul, and spirit. And you have a handout that we passed out. This is another deep subject. And I only briefly am going to touch on it this morning, but I did want to share it. And I found this diagram here. If I can find it in my stack. So we're created body, soul, and spirit. I'd like one of the brethren to read 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Any volunteers? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 highlights three distinct parts. The body, the soul, and the spirit. And we'll just jump to that right here. But as you look at the body is our physical body. It's our flesh, bones. It's our brain, it's our limbs, it's our nerves, organs, muscles. That's our body. Our soul is our conscious mind, our will, our choices, our thinking, reasoning, attitudes, beliefs, emotions, feelings, memories. That's our soul. As you think of the spirit is of God. The spirit is from God. And it has the note here that the heart includes both the soul and the spirit. And this is a very deep subject as well. But as you think of the body connects us to the physical world. You know, it's physical. The body connects us to the physical world. The soul, it's our mind, our emotions, will. That bridges the physical and spiritual. And the spirit is a part that connects with God, enabling us, enabling true worship and spiritual life. And that is our makeup. That is how God created us. And there's so much in that. These parts are so, they're distinct, and yet they're completely bound, intertwoven together. That's our being. This is who we are. This is how we are made. And God works within in the beauty of that intertwining part. There's more I could share on that, but we need to move on. I do welcome your input as you think of the body, soul, and the spirit. We will probably be looking at that again. But as you understand and see this as part of your being, bless God for it. You know, these things, they're part of God. It's how God has created us. It's his part of us being made in his own image and in his likeness. Okay, it has also been shared this morning that we are people that can communicate, relate. We have a relationship, we can have a relationship with God, and we're creatures of choice. And that is a large subject, and yet it impacts us so deeply. And you know, my heart is very sensitive and soft to you young people as you, I know you're in a critical stage of life, and Steve actually referred to that. You know, the choices you make today and are making, the impact of those choices just goes on for a long time. Yes, there's changing our, we can change our course down the road, but the choices that you're making today make a tremendous impact. I look back at my own life and choices I made in my youth because of many influences and because of the work of God. It has gone with me for life, and I bless God for that. I'm not perfect. I'm far from that, and I have made mistakes. There's some choices that I wish I wouldn't have made, but the choices, the good choices have blessed me abundantly, and I bless God for that, and he does the same for you today. So take heart in that. You are a creature of choice this morning, one that can commune with God through your spirit and soul. What a special part of his creation. Okay, let's continue on to, if you look, turn to Genesis chapter 2 in your Bibles. I'd like to look a little bit at Genesis 2 and 3 this morning. So God created man, as he did. And what did he do with man? Genesis 2, verse 8. Can someone read that for me?
Thank you. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
Thank you. There's so many details we did not talk about with how God formed man, but yet it says here that God took the man that he formed and placed him into the Garden of Eden. You know, this Garden of Eden was a beautiful place. It's a perfect place. And man from the beginning had no sin. Man was sinless from the beginning. There was no death within him. He didn't have any gray hair. He wasn't getting old. There was no death within him. And yet, as God viewed creation, what did he say in chapter 1, verse 31? What phrase did he say there to acknowledge his creation? Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, what was the little phrase there that he added to his conclusion of creation? Thank you. It was very good. You know, God saw everything that he made, and he seen it and acknowledged that it was very good. It was not just simply good, it was very good. And Psalm 8, verse 4 and 5 refer to man as the God's crowning glory. Psalm 8, verse 4 and 5 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor." This is how God made man. So this point in life, you know, man was enjoying the height of God's blessing on earth. It was just the most beautiful time of life. But what happened between this point of bliss and the verses that we read at the beginning of the session this morning? What happened between there? Let's continue to look down to verse 17 and 18 and 21 and 23 in chapter 2 here. In verse Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, it says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet." So here, God instituted a law. He instituted a perimeter for man. And he also seen the need of man. Looking to verse 21 to 25, we see how God created woman and how he brought woman to man. And there, verse 24 to 25, the first marriage is performed. All very good, perfect, and beautiful. Okay, so that's where we find this. Just running ahead of myself a little bit. Now we're looking at what happened between that point of bliss and the reality of the verses we opened with. Let's look to chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the what? Serpent." Thank you. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." The serpent, Satan, the tempter, the deceiver, the one that was cast out of heaven. Here he was coming in a form of a serpent. And we find him talking with Eve here. The rest of the verse in verse 1. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So here we find the serpent talking to Eve. How did he get here? Why was he here? What happened? Let's continue to read verse 2 to verse 7. We'll start with the second bench. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, and we'll take a verse, just read across as far as we need to go. Verse 2 to verse 7.
And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of fruit of the tree of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die."
And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Verse 6. Okay, thank you for that. What downward steps do you see that Eve took in yielding to the serpent? What downward steps do you see happened here? What's one?
First of all, she took time for him.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Is there any more?
She said exactly which tree they were not allowed to eat.
Okay. Very good point. Anything else? Think of the downward steps that Eve made in yielding to the serpent. Those are all very good. So she listened to the tempter. She looked at the fruit. She took and ate. And then she gave some to Adam. Very general points. But, you know, she listened to that tempter. She allowed the tempter's words into her mind. She let her mind come off of God and what he had done for them and why she was there. She let her mind travel away from God and focus on the serpent in front of her. She listened to the tempter. She looked at the fruit. You know, she began to doubt what God said. You know, what the serpent came here and said was true. But in that, her listening to that and thinking about it, she was doubting what God said. She was listening to the devil and or the serpent, and she was going down his trail of thought instead of sticking with what she knew was right. So she began to doubt God's word. So the lack of belief that she had, it became a lack of belief that she had, that because God had said that you'll surely die, but she started to believe a lie about that. And she started to believe that the devil's lie that ye shall not surely die. So instead of believing God's command that you will die, she started to believe the devil's lie that ye shall not surely die. So she was switching her thinking. And in that, there was no stop. She took and ate, and then she gave some to Adam. Can someone read verse 8 for me? Genesis 3, verse 8. Any of the... Yes, go ahead.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
Thank you. It says they hid themselves. They hid themselves from the presence of God. Why? Such a good, close communication before, such a good relationship, and now here they're hiding themselves. How come? Yes, they felt guilty. You know, with that action, of eating that apple, of eating that was forbidden, sin entered into the world. And that established law that God had placed in the garden was broke. And with that, sin arrived into man's heart. Perfection fled. When sin arrived, perfection fled. And when that perfection fled, guilt and shame and fear filled their hearts. You know, as soon as they disobeyed God there, they were guilty before God because they had broke that law. Their relationship with God, their Heavenly Father, their Creator, the one that loved them so much and made them in His own image, that relationship was broken. They no longer enjoy that close fellowship with God. I'm sorry, we're just running along here very fast for this story. But as you see that picture where Adam and Eve were at this point, they lost that close connection with God. After that, you know, children were born. The sinful nature was passed on. It talks about when Seth was being born in Genesis 5 that Adam begat a son and in his own likeness. So that means that Seth was born in the likeness of Adam at that point. At that point, Adam would have had the sinful nature. Seth was born with a sinful nature. That also, it included that at this point. And since then, every person that has been born, every child that has been born, has that sinful nature within their being. We read Psalm 51, verse 5 this morning. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Doesn't matter who we are this morning. Doesn't matter our background. Doesn't matter. There's nothing that exempts us from being born with a sinful nature. Just think about Eve a little. You know, how much different are we than Eve? Sometimes we can think kind of hard. We can kind of be kind of hard on Eve. Like, Eve, you knew better. You only had one temptation in life. You only had one tree that you had to look out for and not eat from. Look at the temptations I have. I get everything from, well, you name it. It's a whole basket full. We can sometimes be hard on Eve. But you know, how much different really are we? Just leave that other slide for your study period. You know, we have all fallen into temptation, and through wrong choices, you know, we've also rejected God and fallen from grace. Romans 7:24 says, "What wretched creatures we are." And that's pretty bold. And yet, without God, we are fallen. There's many verses I could have looked at yet. But the Bible talks about in our fallen state, you know, John 3:19 talks about us being, talks about loving darkness. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, we fall prey to the tempter and we're taken captive by him. Romans 8, verse 7 talks about us living in a state of rebellion. You know, we lost contact with God. Because of that, God has decreed that the wages of sin is death. If we look over to Genesis chapter 3, 14 to 24, we see the curse, the punishment for falling into sin. The curse that was pronounced upon Adam and Eve here. And we won't read that, but mark that down, Genesis 3, 14 and 24, how the curse was laid out. You know what? What a miserable, sad, unhappy, brokenhearted situation that Adam and Eve found themselves in. And yet we as those coming on from them carry on that sin nature, that sinful nature. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I don't want to close this session in a negative way. Ephesians chapter 2, I like to read verse 2 to 4 as our closing thought. Wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. But God, who is he? Who is God? What are his characteristics? God, who is rich in mercy, his great love. He loves us. He knows what we need. He knew what we needed. So that, with that thought, that sets the stage for tomorrow's lesson.